name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He hath done great things. Bless his holy name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for he hath done great things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many has a prayer request this morning? I have a written one here from Sister Adelaide. One family is asking to pray for their father, Reverend Grady, who's in a delicate condition due to diabetes. Another family is asking for prayer for Mother Carmen, who's fighting cancer. So, God is a healer.
Amen.
And, you know, healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
It's something that God has given to us that we need to receive. So, if someone's struggling in their faith, we stand here today for them and believe for them. And if you have a prayer request, just hold it up to God as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of mercy today. As your word tells us to boldly come, Lord. We have no right in ourselves to come boldly. We have no right or holiness in ourselves to come before you. But we come standing, holding the sacrifice of Calvary, trusting that that sacrifice was perfect, Lord. That it was all sufficient, that your blood cleanses us from all sin, that by your stripes we were healed, and that you paid for everything we'd ever have need of when you died on that cross on Calvary. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we come before with these petitions and prayer and supplication, and we ask, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on this father struggling with diabetes, this mother with cancer, Lord. And we ask that you go to them and touch them. And may there be a testimony for the glory of God. And Lord, for all the hands raised, I know there's many needs, loved ones, that we want them to know you and to be saved, Lord. We have many needs, Lord, that humans cannot satisfy. But Lord, you're more than able to do all exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we commit them into your hands. And I thank you for blessing the people. And Lord, I ask you to bless the reading of your word. Lord, we know you are the word made flesh and dwelt among us. But Lord, the word is more than a letter. It takes your spirit to come. And we invite your spirit to come and pour out in this little humble place, Lord, on this just a little group of people, Lord. Lord, but you like to come to humble places. And we invite you to come today and pour out your spirit upon us. Bless your word. Move me aside, Lord. Take control of my thoughts and my mind and my being, Lord. And manifest your word in our midst, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
While we're standing, let's turn to John chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse 1. I want to read a very familiar story in the Bible. John, chapter 5, praise the Lord, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Think of that now, 38 years he had an infirmity. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So he could walk, but he had something wrong with him. He had some infirmity for 38 years. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. In verse 10, The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up thy bed and walk. Amen. Then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore the Jews did persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Don't you love to read the Bible?
Amen.
I like to read the Bible because, and I like to read the Gospels because I do believe that Jesus was God manifested in flesh. And you know, there's a lot of religion. And there's a lot of churches and there's a lot of people claiming to be Christians, and so much is done in the name of God that has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
But if you want to go to the source and you want to see what he said and see what he did, then go to the Bible.
Amen.
And read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take someone else's word for it. Just sit down with your Bible and say a simple prayer, like Tim was saying, and just say, God, help me. Help me to see.
Amen.
Help me to understand. I want to know you better. Like that song that Lydia sang, especially, I want to know you more.
Amen.
Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Isn't that your
Amen.
Desire? I want to know him.
Amen.
I don't want to know religion. I don't want to know the creeds of men. I don't care what man did. I want to know what God's doing.
Amen.
So I want to look at this and notice a few things in the scripture, because sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, something stands out to me and I don't know any better than just to talk about it.
Amen.
So, but I pray that God would visit us today.
Yes.
It's not enough
Amen.
For you and I to talk about it. We need to experience God.
Amen.
We need the Spirit of the living God
Amen.
To pour out upon us, to touch us, to touch us. And that's the difference maker.
Amen.
Many people have the word, letter, but do they have the Spirit?
Amen.
That's it. The Spirit giveth life. So, I want you to notice what the Jews were focused on. It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Just picture the scene there, recognizing that Jesus, he looked like a common man. He didn't have a collar turned around. He didn't have a, a hat on and big garments. He looked like just a common man, but he was more than a man. It was God hiding himself in simplicity, hiding in the flesh of a man that looked like a man. So there's God, you know, and think about it. God maybe took billions or trillions or zillions, or we don't know how much time God took thinking about how he's going to manifest himself. But when he manifested himself through Christ, that was the perfect revelation to us of the life of God. Because we couldn't understand God that inhabits all eternity, and we don't understand that. So he says, all right, I'm going to create these mortal beings so I can have fellowship, and I'm going to reveal my life to them. And Jesus was that revelation of the life of God. That's why we love him. There's no man like Jesus. So the Jews, who were God's people, God's chosen nation, you know, they're there and at the pool of Bethesda. Think about it, all these people laying around. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Amen. And the Jews knew this, right? And why were they there? They wanted to be healed. Healing was important. Amen. Because there was a great need for healing, right? So they're laying around and they're trying to be healed. And you would think they would be interested in a man who said he was healed. Right?
Hallelujah.
Especially, he wasn't the first one that stepped in the water. Amen. He was healed in a little different way than when everybody was, you know, sitting around there. So, yeah, they didn't care that this man was healed. They didn't care that he had an infirmity for 38 years. They probably didn't believe him. Think about it. So, they were so focused on enforcing the law of God that it caused them to be blinded to this great event that was happening right in front of them. The Messiah was in their midst. But they were totally blind to that because they were focused on the wrong thing. And today I want to talk about focusing on the right things. Because if you're focused on the wrong things, it can blind you to what God's doing. And it's just think, I mean, who in their right mind would want to be that Jew that wants to kill Jesus? Who in their right mind wants to be that person fighting against what Almighty God is doing? Nobody wants to be that person. But they were blinded because they thought they were so right. And again, that's a disease in the land. When you think you got it all figured out, you can know you're wrong. Amen. Nobody's got it all figured out. And the people that walk around like they know everything, they're in great trouble. Because they're blinded by their own thinking, by their own thoughts. Lord, help us.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I don't want to be blind. Whether natural, I appreciate being able to see. Because if you can't see in the natural, you're stumbling into everything, and you could walk into a ditch. You could, right? I value my eyesight in natural. How much more should we value spiritual eyesight when we realize this life is only temporary? That you can walk into things when you're blind, and that you don't realize what you're doing. So the Jews therefore said unto him, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to take up thy bed." Of course, you know. When you go back and study the Sabbath day, what did God say? He said, do no work, right? Today, people are all focused on a certain day. But that's not what God said. He said, do no work. And now some people say, well, you have to go to church on Saturday because that's the Sabbath day. And they missed the whole point, frankly. They haven't entered into his rest. His rest, the Sabbath, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is our rest, which is every day, every minute of every day. That's the rest we have to enter into, not a certain day of the week that you go to church. Originally, if you study it back, it was do no work. So what happened is the Jews developed all these laws that and traditions that they held to as if it was God saying these things. But some of the things they were focused on were obviously not what God thought was important, because when God came down to earth,
Amen.
He purposely violated those things.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to, I love that about God.
Amen.
That if someone gets an idea that's wrong, he'll go out of his way just to break that.
Amen.
Just to show you that's not what God wants.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You didn't know Jesus was like that, huh? If we get an idea in our mind that's not right, God will go out of the way
Amen.
To offend you just to show you that you're not so right.
Amen.
We're not so right all the time.
Amen.
He that made me whole said, take up my bed. So they threw out the part, he that made me whole. And they said, he said, take up thy bed. Where is he? Who is he?
Hallelujah.
Who are these people? Right? Sometimes it's us.
Amen.
They didn't say, wow, you were sick for 38 years and you're whole. Wow, that's wonderful. Praise God. They didn't say that.
Nope.
They didn't say a miracle happened. You mean like immediately you were made whole? They didn't care about that. Nope, they didn't care.
Amen.
What man said this to thee? Who told thee to take up thy bed? Who told you to violate the law? Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. When I read the Bible, I say, oh, Lord, don't ever let me get to that place.
Amen.
Where I'm so sure I'm right and I'm fighting against you.
Amen.
I don't want to be there. I'd rather not fight at all than to fight against God. See, what happened? How did they get to that place? They were so focused on enforcing the law on other people. Do you realize Christians get that way? They get so focused on someone else lining up the way they should that they miss the whole point. They miss the whole point. I don't want to miss the whole point. They were more focused on enforcing the laws of God than knowing what God was doing in their day. Because they're so focused on the wrong things. You know, they thought they knew what was important. They thought they knew what was important. This is important. We must keep the law. But when God came, he showed that's not the most important thing. That was not the most important thing. They had made something important that wasn't really important to God.
Amen.
And when God plainly displayed to them what was important, they just couldn't change their mind. That's the problem with saying, I believe this, period. And if you don't believe like me, I'm not your friend. And you're not my friend. There's wisdom in saying, I believe this that God showed me, comma, and anything else God can show me. Now, we're not just going to believe anything that comes along. We're going to believe something that's according to the Word of God. And if something unusual happens, we're going to say, where's that in the Word of God? Where does the Bible teach that?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So, we have the same problem today. People looking at the wrong things and they miss what's really important.
Amen.
Is it important to you that you don't miss what's important?
Amen.
See, I have that desire in me. I don't want to be deceived. Okay, when I first heard about Brother Branham, I was like, I don't want to be deceived. Prophet? Oh, I was like, when I think of prophet, I just think of false prophet. Because there's so many of them. Right? But there was something about Brother Branham's ministry. There was something about his message and his spirit that drew me. And my mind was screaming, you know, what about this, what about that? My heart was saying, amen, I believe it.
Amen.
And my mind saying, wait a minute, don't believe that. And my mind saying, too late, I already believe it. Praise God.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
Let's look at another scripture in Luke 6, another example here, verse 1. It's hard to believe sometimes these things really happen, but they're in the Bible. I believe they happen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, Luke 6:1, on the second Sabbath after the first, on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they went, and they which were with him, how they went into the house of God and did eat, take and eat the showbread, and gave it to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. So he used an example of David who did something that, you know, I guess looked wrong. He says, hey, you're not picking on David. What are you picking on me for, right? And he said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Amen.
And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered in a synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now picture this. Jesus is there, and there's a man whose hand is kind of, you know, withered. You ever see someone with a hand that's not right?
Yes.
And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. Now look at their thinking. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. This is delusional thinking. This is when you're so convinced you're right, nobody can talk to you. They had in their mind said, if he heals on the Sabbath, see, we got him. We're gonna. How did they get to that thinking? How does anybody get to perverted thinking? One thing leads to another. The devil puts a false idea in your mind. First of all, for you to be so sure you're right, you got to get a little bit lifted up in yourself. When you're lifted up, you're going down right there. See, because if the devil can just say, you're so revelated, you know, God just blesses you with revelation and you know so much about the Word of God, and he's puffing you up and he's lifting you up. What he's doing, he's prying open a door for more devils to get in. He's prying open your mind. It's like the world. You're so beautiful. Careful. When the world loves you, right? You're a friend of the world is an enemy of God. When the world's patting you on the back, don't be happy about it.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
They're just prying open a door for more devils to get in.
Amen.
All right? So let's go on with this now. They watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, they might find accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon all of them. Now just picture Jesus, God manifested in flesh. The perfect one. The Messiah. The Word made flesh. God, the fullness of the Spirit of God in flesh, standing in the midst with critics all around him, trying to accuse him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. So he's looking around, and he's standing, and Jesus said, looking around, he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So here we got this man who's got a withered hand. And Jesus is obviously challenging these guys. Is it lawful for me to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? He was challenging their fundamental belief that they shouldn't do this on the Sabbath day. So right in front of them, there's the man with a withered hand, stretch forth thy hand. And the man goes, phoom. Right in front of them. And how did they react? They said, oh, maybe we're wrong about this guy. Maybe our thinking is not right. You know, maybe we should change the way we're thinking. No, the Bible says And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other, and they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Madness. They're filled with madness. Look how blind they were. They were so blind. They were convinced that they were so right. They were so focused on the wrong thing. They couldn't see the God they claimed to worship standing right in front of them.
Amen.
Couldn't see. This is God. Standing before them, performing miracles. The huge event, the huge prophetic event. Moses had prophesied of a prophet to come. And there he was. The Messiah was to come. They're looking for the Messiah. But because he didn't come like they thought he should, they missed it. How could anybody perform that kind of miracle without God being with him? Right? Isn't that what Nicodemus said?
Hallelujah.
Listen, we know you're of God. You know, we don't understand a word you're saying, but God has to be with you before. They should have had that kind of thinking. And then if you see, we need to be open to God changing our mind.
Amen.
We need to be open and not so fixated that we know everything. I tell you, that's one of the greatest problems in the hour. It's one of the greatest problems around the message. We know everything. We got all the mysteries revealed. I know everything. But do you know God?
Amen.
And if you know God, you're not going to be all uppity like that.
Amen.
Because God loves to dwell with them also that are a contrite and humble spirit. And he can't stand to be around you because you think you're so great.
Amen.
I don't know about you. When I pray and break through, I don't feel real great.
Amen.
I feel very little in the presence of God. Very little. I feel very small. I can't see anything wrong with anybody when I'm praying to God.
Amen.
Everybody looks good to me when I'm praying to God. I can't find fault with anybody because my faults are so huge.
Amen.
That all I can say is, have mercy on me, Lord.
Amen.
Have mercy on me. Change me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm not asking you to work on everybody else. There's so much right here for you to work on.
Amen.
Well, Brother John, not me. When I pray, I'm all right. That scares me.
Amen.
That scares me, people like that. Because he's not visiting you. If you get into that light, it exposes everything.
Amen.
And our flesh nature is wicked. And this is what people can't see. The Spirit of God wars against our flesh.
Amen.
We are in a battle every day when we wake up with ourself. That selfish nature, the I, and the world just encourages that I nature. Whatever you think, do it. Whatever you think is right, do it. You got your iPad, right? You got your iMac, you got I. It's all about I. Forget about anybody else. It's all about you. That's the devil. Feeding your flesh. Puffing up the flesh to the place where you can't hear God. God is humble. God is meek. I want to be like Jesus. Frank, I'm tired of myself.
Amen.
I'm tired of what my flesh produces. But I love what he does. I love the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. The sweet Spirit of God. It just makes everything different. It makes everything better. I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care where you are in your relationship with God. If we just yield to him, he makes it better.
Amen.
Say, well, I'm no good, Brother John. I'm so far away from God. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters which way you're going. Which way are you going? Are you going away from God or toward God? Well, I've been going away from God for so many years. Why would he have anything to do with me? Just turn today.
Amen.
Turn to him today.
Amen.
And he'll make your life better.
Amen.
I love that about him. He just takes us where we are.
Amen.
He doesn't say, fix yourself, then come to me. That is such flawed thinking. You know how many times I've heard that? I'm talking to people about God and the things of God. Well, I need to get things right before I'm like, no. If you get things fixed, then you're going to be all self-righteous and he can't stand that. But if you come to him as you are, Lord, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood has cleansed me and shed for me. Just come to him as you are, and then he takes you where you are, and then his strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you come as you are, then he gets all the credit. He gets all the credit. We say, Lord, I'm just no good. Lord, I don't know why you don't throw me away. Take me, Lord. He's like, all right, I can use that. Amen. I can use that. I can't use the self-righteous Pharisee. I can't use the people that got it all figured out. When he chose his 12, he didn't pick the most popular or the smartest ones. They couldn't even sign their name. Unlearned and ignorant. And we want to be so smart. Smart people just go around the world trying to prove there's no God. That's not smart. That's dumb. That's pretty dumb. How can you not see there's a God that created this world? You know, this eclipse that went by, you know, that was one of the things that stood out to me. The whole world, they're all caught up in the eclipse, you know. Do you realize how perfect it had to be for that to work?
Amen.
The moon had to be a certain size. The sun had to be a certain size, and there had to be perfect distance between,
yes,
or else it doesn't work.
Right.
Oh, well, that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, science.
No, there's a God.
Amen.
He created this earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I did see the eclipse. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. And it means something. I don't know what it means, but it means something. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we look at this and we say, Jesus knew they were looking to find fault with him, right? He knew the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why a lot of times you come to church and here, I don't know anything. I'm just dumb as a rock, right? But I come up here and someone says, did you have a tape recorder in my house? Because you talked about what? No, you see, the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
And God's able to move the dumb rock to talk about something in your life.
Amen.
So that you can see God is here.
Amen.
He promised to be here. We should believe he's here.
Amen.
But you know, the God that I know is a savior.
Amen.
He's a deliverer. He wants to deliver you.
Amen.
And when we come, he gives us a little bit. He gives us a little bit. I tell you, before I was preaching, every time I went to church, I heard from God.
Amen.
And I would go to church with the attitude, I said, Lord, I don't care who's preaching today. And I don't care what they're going through and what's wrong with that guy. But Lord, just grab a hold of that rag doll and speak to me.
Amen.
And I would go with that kind of faith, and God never failed to speak directly to me. Sometimes it was encouragement. Sometimes it was correction.
Amen.
But you know, real Christians love to be corrected.
Amen.
By God.
Hallelujah.
In the Spirit of God.
Amen.
They don't like to be corrected by the Pharisees because they got the wrong motives and the wrong spirits. But I think real Christians love to be corrected by their Father.
Amen.
Right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So Jesus knew they're looking to find fault. And he purposely healed on the Sabbath day. For instance, when he healed that man and they said, who healed you? Well, Jesus went back to him to show, hey, it's me. Go ahead, tell him. Tell him it's me. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He purposely got in their face. He said, all right, he didn't take the withered man and say, let's go back in the behind the church and I'll heal your hand. He said, come out here in the midst, right in front of them on the Sabbath day. He purposely did it. What are we trying to say? If you have a wrong thought, God will purposely get in your face about it.
Amen.
God may allow you to be blinded by your own thinking. God may do something purposely that you think is wrong. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
I don't want that. Lord, I don't want you to do that to me. Then don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. What attracts God? Somebody that humbles themselves.
Amen.
that has extreme reverence for His Word. That's a for to this man will I look. You know the scripture in Isaiah. To this man will I look, right? He that's of a humble spirit that reverences my word.
Amen.
That's the kind of people we want to be. If you want to attract God, do you want to have a relationship with God? If you want to have a relationship with somebody, don't push them away. We want to attract God. Humility attracts God. Not having it all figured out attracts God. I want to attract Him.
Amen.
There's a lot of people calling on His name, and I know maybe they're more worthy than me. But I need God.
Amen.
I need You, Lord. If you need Him, don't go to Him in a pompous way. Humble yourself. Take time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He healed the man, and they were filled with madness. Wrong thinking gets amplified in the presence of God. It's just amplified to the place where it just looks really bad. The wrong spirit, wrong motives in the presence of God, it just gets obliterated. So much we look back to the story and we're thinking, what were they thinking? They wanted to kill God and then go worship Him. They wanted to kill the God they claimed. They killed the God they claimed to worship. Think about it. They were blinded. So I say this, God, help me to focus on the right things. I don't want to be so focused on something that's wrong that I'm blind to what God's trying to do in my life, that I can't hear the voice of God trying to speak to me. He's trying to speak to you. Right? I remember when Maureen was first a Christian, and it was 3 years that I was a Christian before her. And then when she became a Christian, I would say, so what did God say to you? She's like, I didn't hear nothing. But God speaks to us.
Amen.
We need to be listening to Him.
Amen.
He has a still small voice.
Amen.
How can the God of creation have a still small voice? He does.
Amen.
I can't explain that.
Amen.
He likes to come in simplicity and humility.
Amen.
He'll speak to you through church. He'll speak to you through the Bible. He'll speak to you through somebody that just you meet walking down the street.
Amen.
He's able to speak. God, help us to see properly.
Amen.
Help us to see. And I want you to, I would love you to have this in your heart. Help me to see what's important.
Yes.
Help me to adjust my priorities so that what's really important to God becomes important to me.
Amen.
God, have mercy on us.
Amen.
So we don't miss Him working right in front of us because we thought we had all things figured out.
Amen.
Not knowing that we had it figured out all wrong. Do you realize the disappointments that are coming? The whole Christian world is looking for the rapture. But they're not all going. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going in the rapture.
Amen.
Do you realize that? We've had an end time message, a vindicated prophet declare to us, it's a minority.
Amen.
Yes, the bride, there's tens of thousands times thousands in the bride, but that's from all the ages.
Amen.
And look, there's millions that were martyred back in that day. In this day, it's a minority. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to tell the truth that most people that call themselves Christians are going to be disappointed because they're going to miss the rapture.
Amen.
I don't want us to be disappointed.
Amen, brother.
What's the requirements? We need to be one with Him.
Amen.
We need to be sealed.
Amen.
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need to have that experience with His Spirit. So that's what's most important in your life, is to have an experience with God where you know that you met God.
Amen.
And His Spirit touched your soul.
Yes.
And you were born again. That's more important than all the other things we focus on. But not knowing that you're wrong is actually a sign of the times.
Amen.
That was it's a prophetic sign. The Laodicean church age would be lukewarm. It wouldn't be cold or hot. It would be lukewarm, and it would be wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked and knoweth it not. That's a symptom of the day we live in, that the majority of people are blind and don't know it. They have the wrong focus and they don't know it. Just think how many churches have some kind of music program, and God don't even like that kind of music. So how do you know, John? Well, that's just my opinion. Everybody has an opinion. But you could have a great big music program, and you could have voices, oh, you could be screaming out to God. And he says, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Hey, I like good music. I love a good voice. You know, when Lydia sang that song, you know, Peter's, that touched me. Lord, I want to know you more.
Amen.
Something touched me. I love when someone's able to bring the Spirit of God to us through the gift in their life. And I'm not against special songs and singing and all that. But when that becomes a wrong focus and a wrong priority, and it becomes Hollywood,
Amen.
Becomes a production, you know. God, help us to see. Open our eyes, Lord. Help me to see clearly. Let's look at some who focused on the right thing. I already been beaten up too much focusing on the wrong things. Look at David. Okay, David, he knew God. Okay, so he had an experience with God. He would sit out there with the sheep at night. He'd play his little instrument and he'd worship God. And the Spirit of God would come to David. David was chosen by God. He knew God. And so when that time came with Goliath, and the whole army of God is standing there, and they're afraid of Goliath, and Goliath is threatening. You know, whenever the devil has an upper hand, he always threatens. Come on. See, and that's what he feels like today. He thinks he has an upper hand against the church of the living God. We need somebody that has a revelation David had.
Amen.
Who is he to defile the armies of the living God? If you won't go, I'll go. See, what was David focused on? He wasn't looking, and this is very key to focus on the right things. David wasn't looking at the circumstances in the natural. If he did look at the natural, he was a puny little guy. And there was a giant could break him in half. Right? If he just looked at the natural, then that would be looking at the wrong thing. He was defeated. All the armies of Israel were looking at the natural saying, he's pretty big. I ain't going. Even Saul, head and shoulders above everybody else. Right? He's like, I ain't going. And here comes the little puny guy saying, I'll go.
Amen. Lord, amen, brother.
And so they call on and say, who do you think you are? He said, it's not me. It's my God.
Amen.
When I was on the backside of the desert,
amen.
A bear came and I killed him, and a lion came and I killed him. Not me. My God is stronger. Who is that enemy there? He was focused on the right things.
Amen.
He was focused on the power of his God.
Amen.
And not his own abilities.
Amen.
That's our struggle.
Amen. That's right.
We see ourselves. We see our failings. We see what we're doing wrong. And when you focus on that, you're focused on the wrong thing. Don't focus on the God that you serve.
Amen.
That's what David was for. That's what gave him confidence.
Amen.
Focus on the God you serve. Joshua and Caleb looked at the promise instead of the enemy.
Amen.
They're going into the promised land. All the other spies are saying, oh, the land is everything God said it would be. But we can't take it because the enemy's there and they're too big.
Amen.
They were focused on the wrong. They were focused on the enemy. Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able to take it. Let us go up at once.
Amen.
What were they looking at? Again, they weren't looking in the natural because we were like grasshoppers in their sight. They were giants.
Amen.
See, Christians today, real Christians, you cannot simply look at what you see with your eyes. You actually have to ignore what you see with your eyes, what you know with your mind, to believe what the Bible said.
Amen.
My God is greater.
Amen.
He's coming back.
Amen.
The world's not ready, but I'm ready. I want to be ready. He's coming back. I want to be ready for him to come back. The scene is set for him to come back. Praise God. So looking at the right things means not looking at the way things are. It's looking at what God said they are. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Feed on the word of God, and faith comes into your heart, and you call those things that are not as though they are. Because you're looking at the promise, not at the circumstance.
Amen.
Now, we can say that, but until we live like that, we're not walking like the seed of Abraham. Abraham called those things that are not as though they were. Let's go to Romans 4, Amber. He staggered not at the promise of God. Don't stagger at the promises. Romans 4:18. Oh, I love this. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, what's he saying? There was no hope in the natural. Against all hope, he believed in hope. That's us. No matter how things look, I still believe my God's able. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. So there, God, here's Abraham. He doesn't have any children. And Almighty God speaks to Abraham and he says, look at the stars. Look at the sands on the sea. So shall thy... Can you number the stars? Can you number the sand? So shall thy seed be. And there he is, childless. How could so shall, and the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He could not believe based on what he was seeing in the natural. We've got to get that. You've got to focus on the unseen promises of God.
Amen.
That's the right thing to focus on. Focusing on the way things are and the natural things will only take you away from believing what God said. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, look at this now. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Amen.
He considered not. He's 100.
Amen.
He's dead. The Bible says it ceased to be with him in the natural with his wife. Her womb was dead. She was old. And they're believing for a baby.
Amen.
How could they believe for a baby? Because he considered not. Do you see? You're called to be the seed of Abraham. Oh, Brother John, things are bad today. Bad, bad, bad. Just look around. The churches are dead. Yeah, they're dead like Sarah's womb was dead. But you going to look at that or look at the promise? I see promises. I see life. I see a baby coming.
Yes.
I see a full-grown Jesus coming to be manifested.
Hooray. Hallelujah!
I see a Book of Acts church.
Amen.
Brother John, what are you looking at? I don't see any of that. Looking at the promises. Focus on the right things. If you're discouraged, you know why many times you're looking at the wrong things. You're looking at the way things are, not the way God said they would be. It is depressing to look at this world. It is depressing to look at the conditions of the world. It is depressing to look at my own self. But I consider not the deadness of my own self and of the world and the church. Consider not. It's not even in the equation. I'm looking to the promises of God. We're more than able to take it. My God is God.
Amen.
We shall overcome. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I know when you walk by faith, you look like a nut. You look like a nut. It's like, I'm a fool for Jesus. And on the back it says, whose fool are you? Because everybody's somebody's fool. And if you're not following Jesus, you really are foolish. Because he's the coming king. There's a millennium coming. He will sit on that throne. All nations will be gathered and worship our King of Kings, and we'll be right there with him.
Amen.
Don't you want to side with him now?
Yes.
It's a test right now.
Yes.
If you have faith in the Word of God, you're going to side with Jesus.
Yes.
If you don't believe the Word of God, you're going to side with the world, and the world is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I like to know the end from the beginning.
Amen.
Then I knew whose side to be on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said about Romans 4, he says, when I get a little blue, I read Romans 4.
Amen.
No wonder. No wonder. It helps you focus on the right things.
Right.
Stagger not at the promise of God. Through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When you're looking at the promise, you can praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for my healing. I can't see anything in the natural, but thank you for, by his stripes I was healed.
Amen.
I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I feel terrible. I don't feel any good. Just everything looks bad. But praise God, I'm saved.
Amen.
Declaring what the Word says.
Yes.
And being fully persuaded. Here's the thing. Are you fully persuaded?
Amen.
Are you that's standing on the Word of God. You won't stand on it if you're not fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform.
Yes,
that's the key. Not that what he had promised, it's all up to me to perform. No, fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform despite me.
Yes,
despite the condition of the world. Despite the condition of the church. God's able to take these stones and make children. Amen and amen. Praise God. Fully persuaded what he had promised, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe?
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
You know, there's one thing. I can't stand who I am and what I am and everything about me. But, you know, I look inside, I see faith.
Amen.
It's there. I believe.
Amen.
I believe Jesus Christ is God.
Yes.
I believe he died and he rose from the dead. And I believe he's alive today.
Amen.
And I believe I look back at my life and I can say without a shadow of doubt, he touched me.
Amen.
And he changed my life. Amen. And he changed my desires.
Amen.
He changed my ambitions.
Amen.
I was I always drank and drugs and all the filth of the world. And I don't want nothing to do with that now.
Amen.
He changed me.
Amen.
He could change anybody.
Hallelujah.
And now I have no righteousness. He is my righteousness.
Amen.
I'd still be in the world if he hadn't come and touched
Amen.
Me.
That's right.
But you know what? That Spirit of Christ, when it comes, it's so sweet and humble. And I'm always amazed.
Amen.
How sweet he is.
Amen.
The sweetness of Christ. What will it be like to live with him for eternity?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be there?
Wow.
Amen. I believe we will. Praise God. Raised Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses. Get that? He wasn't delivered for his offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. See, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. Jesus Christ has pardoned everyone here today. Even if you think you're unworthy to come to God, he pardoned you, but that pardon is not valid in your life. It doesn't work in your life until you say, I accept that pardon.
Amen.
I believe he took my place. That changes the relationship. Amen. So look at what Abraham was, what he could have focused on. He's old, Sarah's old. His body was dead, Sarah's womb was dead. You know, when you're expecting to have a baby, these things matter, right? Do they matter? The Bible said that Abraham did not focus on these things? Shouldn't it matter that his body's dead? Shouldn't it matter that Sarah's womb's dead? Wasn't this the reality of their situation? He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither did they. See, if there's no God in the picture, then that's all you have to consider. But Abraham's situation was a little different. Why was Abraham's situation a little different? Because God gave a promise to Abraham.
Amen.
And do you realize that promise was to him and to his seed after him? And the Bible declares, that's why it's good to read the Bible,
Amen.
That we are the seed of Abraham when we believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
All those promises to him, they're on me.
Amen.
If we can believe it. Praise God. You know, God is the difference maker. Why? Because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Even if the situation looks bad, even if you think your situation's hopeless, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Not focused on what he could see with his eyes. And this is where we have to be. This is where we have to be different than the rest of the world. Don't focus on what you see with your eyes. Focus on the promise of God. Praise God. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, today, I want to challenge you. What are you focusing on? Now, this is not a Catholic confessional. We don't have a little box on the side. Okay, I've been there to the box. It didn't do no good, right? We go direct.
Amen.
We have direct access. But I want you to examine your own life. I don't want you to examine other people's lives. That's not going to do you no good. Listen, you could spend your whole life looking at my faults, and I could share more with you that you can't even see. Okay? Because we're all filled with faults.
Amen.
But it doesn't help you to focus on my faults, your husband, your wife, your neighbor, your kids. Focus on your inside yourself. All right? Now, there are many things in this world to draw your attention away. What are you focused on? One of the things is the vanity of this world. What am I talking about? You know, this whole world is looking at Hollywood. They're looking at something so-called beautiful. Actors, popular people. Actresses, models. Oh, they're so beautiful. They're rich and they're beautiful. Am I wrong? This world is focused on that.
Yes.
And it blinds them to the beauty of Christ. There's a beauty in Christ that is not beauty in the natural. It's a beauty where it matters. But the surface beauty is so vain. It's so vain. It doesn't last. One of the most pathetic things is there was a beautiful actress. So she's getting older. And what happens? She has to go to a surgeon to make adjustments. And then she doesn't look real anymore. And then I start to feel sorry. I say, oh. You can't change what you are.
Right.
And you're going to get older. And it's not going to be pretty. So I say, that's not very important.
That's right. Amen.
Not in the grand scheme of things.
That's right, brother. It's good.
When you try to change, listen, look at Michael Jackson. He tried to change what he was. He became like a freak.
True, brother. Amen.
God made you the way you are.
Amen.
Some people are prettier than other people. Some people more handsome than other people. Listen, God did that. I, you know, if you're not happy the way you look, don't blame me.
Amen.
God made you, right?
Amen.
But when you try to be something you're not, when you try to follow Hollywood, you're doomed.
Amen.
It's a path of vanity.
Amen.
There's nothing in that. It won't satisfy your soul.
Amen.
And so much is focused on that. I feel sorry for those people. Because they're going to be really disappointed. You know, they had it all for a few years. The want of money. Not having money. The want of money is the root of all evil. Say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, but if you want it, it does. See, I'm not going to ask how many people played that jackpot that would just happen. I'm not going to ask you, because I'll be disappointed if you raise your hand. See, when I hear about that jackpot, I want you to know what I think. I think, okay, you play a ticket and you win that and you get millions of dollars. It would be a disaster. You're like, no, Bo John, that would be a good thing for me to get millions of dollars. See, and I understand that most of the world, just for the fun of thinking about that, they'll pay a couple dollars or $20 or I don't know, $100. I don't know how many people paid money for that didn't win, but just for the joy of thinking about what they do with all the money. But all I can think about is, I can't play that because I might win and it would destroy my life. It would make me miserable. You wouldn't be able to trust anybody anymore. Hey, Brother John, how you doing? Man, you're looking good today. They want some money from you. Right? All of your relationships will become compromised overnight. Even your family, your friends. You wouldn't have one good relationship. Well, you'd have Brother John because I don't want no money from you. I don't want money. Money, the want of money is evil. But look at the world caught up and they're focused on the wrong things. And look how many depressed people there were the day after that. One person won. But I'll tell you this, it won't give rest and it won't give peace. But I tell you, if you won the jackpot, you that played the jackpot, you know who you are. It would give you chaos. You'd have to move from your home. You say, gladly move from my home. You'd have to move out of the area you live in. You'd have to change your name. Do you think all these scoundrels in the world don't look at who wins the jackpots? Overnight, every charity in the world will become begging for you. And all of a sudden, you say, I just want some peace and rest. I'm never going to convince you, I can tell. But what I'm challenging you is people are focused on the wrong things. That's not what satisfies. Jesus satisfies. Amen. He gives me peace in my soul. He gives me treasures and riches untold. I have confidence in Him that when we come to the end of the road, He's going to take care of me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What do you focus on? Politics? I'm telling you right now, and I don't care if you don't agree with me, people are blinded by politics.
It's the truth, brother.
From my view, stay away from it. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Oh, but I like to get involved. I like to have a cause. Blinded by their politics. Madness. It's madness. There's corruption all over it. We can't look for our politicians to be clean. They're all corrupt. They compromise as soon as they get in.
Amen.
They may have good intentions and they get in and they can't get anything done unless they compromise. And they're corrupt.
Amen.
Why would we want to get involved in politics? I'll tell you right now, religion and politics doesn't mix very well.
Amen.
Doesn't mix very well. We had a brother here that come by and preach for us. Very nice brother, Marcel. He works for the government. He reports to, who's that brother that's in the... Ben Carson. He reports to Ben Carson. Ben Carson's a Christian man. Right? I mean, if you listen to Ben Carson, you have to like the guy. He's humble. He was a brain surgeon or something, or right? But he got involved in politics. And what this brother said was, listen, he's a good man, but religion and politics doesn't mix.
Amen.
He said the people in the office, Ben Carson would want to pray, right, with the people and let's pray about this or that. So the people in the office, now they take that and they go, like, as a negative, well, let's just pray about it. We got something, nah, we'll just pray about it. In other words, they're making fun of it. Listen, you can't stop that, but I'm saying politics and religion don't mix. Don't mix. Who killed Jesus? The religious, political, together, mixed together. And you do what you want with your life. I don't tell you what to do. From me, stay away from politics. Don't let your mind get caught up in politics. Don't follow all this about Donald Trump and the leaders of the world. That's not what you're supposed to focus on. Focus on Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And how he can be manifest in your life. That's the important thing. Don't focus on the wrong things. It'll blind you to what God's doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Entertainment. It blinds people. And I'll say this. Never before has this world been so consumed by entertainment. And listen, it's so attractive. Listen, I'm not saying a beautiful woman's not attractive. I'm just saying if you go after that, that there's a problem there. Right? And Hollywood is attractive. They got 3D, blow your mind, right? They got all kinds of technology. And you know, people getting... I don't get involved in games and stuff, so, but I know there's games that are like other worlds. And you become a character in this game, and people live their life in an alternate reality. And they're caught up in it. They spend all the time in it. And it's useless.
Yes.
It's all fake. It's nothing. It's vain. It's nothing. But it's so attractive. And listen, Hollywood influences. Not me. I can look at it and it doesn't influence me at all. It influences you.
Yes, it does.
You cannot look at it and not be influenced.
That's right, brother.
And listen, I'll tell you this. You start to reflect what you're looking at.
Amen.
Your mind, your words, amen, your appearance, the way you dress,
amen,
starts to reflect. I can tell what you're looking at by the way you look. By the life that's coming out of you. If you feed on the Word of God, we can tell.
Amen.
If you're having communion with Jesus, we can tell.
Amen.
That Spirit of Christ is so sweet. When someone lets Jesus have preeminence, what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. You love to be around them, right? Brother Bram used to talk about, he says, but you know, there's some nice people and you can't stand to be around them. You ever hear him say that? He said, like religious people. What? They're focused on the wrong things. If they were focused on Christ and Him alone, they wouldn't have that. But they have other things going on. Don't you want to be focused on the right things?
Amen.
I do. I realize the attraction in the world. Let me try and finish up. Mark chapter 7. Let's look at this woman.
Amen.
This woman is my hero. And someday I want to, not like Jesus, but you'll understand when we read this. The Syrophoenician woman, Mark 7. I want to meet this lady someday.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, let me shake her hand over there. She was focused on the right things.
Amen.
Mark 7:25. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, what was that? An unclean spirit. Her daughter had a devil.
Amen.
Her daughter had a devil. What's that look like? Not pretty. Heard of him, the woman heard of him, and she came and fell at his feet. Well, that's the first right thing to do. Go to Jesus, fall at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Wait a minute. He called her a dog. She went to Jesus looking for help. She was desperate and he called her a dog. Is that true?
Amen.
God wouldn't do that. He did it. He does it. It's a test.
Amen.
When you come to God, he wants to see your resolve. He wants you to see. He already knows. He wants you to see your resolve. And sometimes there's a little pushback. I would say being called a dog is a bit of a pushback, all right? But look, she didn't even look at that. She didn't even consider that. And she answers them, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. That's someone saying, I'm going to humble myself to Jesus, and no matter what happens, I'm going to humble myself to him because I'm going to get what I need to get.
Amen.
My daughter needs this, and he's the one that can deliver the goods.
Amen.
She was focused on the right things.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen.
I love that. She wasn't focused on the devil.
Amen.
Come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. Hitting his daughter. No. What good does that do? What good does it do to criticize somebody with the devil all over them?
Amen.
It doesn't do any good.
Amen.
The devil baits you.
Yes.
The devil takes your loved one's mind and he says things that just to get under your skin.
Amen.
Don't take the bait.
Yes.
Turn away from the devil.
Amen.
And run to Jesus.
Yes.
Follow at his feet.
Amen.
Oh, but you got to pay attention to your daughter. You can't leave her alone. Yes, you can leave her alone.
Yes. Amen.
God's in control.
Amen.
Lord, I'm leaving them to you. Oh, you're not doing anything then. You're not doing anything. Leaving somebody to Jesus is doing something.
Amen.
And all that people do in themselves pushes it and makes it worse.
Amen.
Tell you what, I'm leaving my loved ones to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'm coming to him and I'm humbling myself to him and I'm going to keep coming because he told a parable about a woman that was persistent.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So I'm going to be persistent.
Amen.
Yea, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying matters what you say.
Amen.
Your prayers matter. Your heart and your prayers matter. For this saying, go thy way. The devil's gone out of thy daughter.
Amen.
And she was come to her house. She found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bread.
Amen.
She had rest. Wait a minute, Brother John. You can't do that for people. The daughter has to come to Jesus herself. That's not what happened here. I know what I get from this. I can have faith for somebody's deliverance.
Amen.
If they can't have faith for themselves.
Amen.
I can stand in the gap.
Yes.
I can bear their burden. I can pray the prayer for them.
Amen.
I can't save them, but he can.
Yes.
I'm going to the Savior.
Amen.
Focus on the right things.
Amen.
Don't focus on someone with the devil.
Amen.
Don't ever try to reason with somebody with the devil.
Amen.
Just love them. Just love them. You can't agree with them.
Amen.
Just love them. I love that. Don't you want to shake her hand?
Amen.
Praise God, sister.
Amen.
Way to go. You encouraged me.
Amen. That's right, brother. That's good.
Matthew chapter 8. There's another guy I like. Got to shake his hand. I'll try and finish up here. Sorry to take so long. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, if Jesus says, I will come and heal him, how many are going to say, that's all right, you don't need to come? Look at this guy. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Oh, don't you want Jesus to marvel at your faith? He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. He was focused on the right thing. He got beyond the noise of the day. He got beyond the Jews. He got beyond the Romans. He didn't consider it his job and all that implications. He understood this man is of God. Healing is going to come through this man. And he loved his servant. I love that. I want to shake his hand.
Amen. That's right.
I want to shake his hand and say, brother, we're brothers.
Amen.
You encouraged me.
Right.
Thank you. We need that same kind of faith. That God will do the same thing. What are we going to focus on? The Word of God. The promises of God.
Amen.
Your relationship with God.
Amen.
Let me stop. How is your relationship with God?
Right.
Is it good? Listen, if it's not good, if you think it's really bad right now, I want you to realize this. If you just turn to Him, all you got to do is say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, save me, God. Forgive me, Lord. He sees that. You cannot fix yourself. Cannot change yourself. But I know that He can. I know that He can. Praise the Lord. Oh my, can I read a couple scriptures and finish?
Amen, brother.
Amen, praise the Lord. There's a scripture in Titus 2, verse 13. Amber, you want to put it up there? There it is. What should we be looking at? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Focus on that. Look for Him to come. See, because in looking for Him to come, it changes you.
Amen.
It changes you. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Promise, I'm finishing. I am. Not like Brother Branham finishing, and then an hour later, he's still preaching. I'm almost done. It's all right. He can do what he wants, Brother Branham, a prophet of God. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Listen, if He started in you, He's going to finish it. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And let's stand for this last scripture in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Jude 1. This is beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful.
Amen.
But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Priority. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You be one of those that's trusting in His mercy.
Amen.
And of some having compassion, making a difference. You know, have compassion on people that don't have Jesus. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's just worship Him a bit.
Amen.
Amen. Jeremy, you want to come? Do you love Him?
Amen.
Lord, help me focus on the right things.
Amen.
Help me to not focus on the things that are going to take me away from what's important.
Amen.
Amen. I trust the Lord speak to you today. Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you, Lord. I know everyone here, we all need you, Lord. This world is dying. There's trouble on every side. The conditions do not look good, Lord. We cannot look at that. We cannot look at ourselves. We must look to you and to your promise. And Lord, I ask you to touch each and every one that's here today. May you touch our souls. May your spirit come. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, that's never surrendered to you, Lord, I ask that you come to them in a special way. May they feel that sweet spirit, Lord. May they hear the knock on the door. And may they open the door to you, Lord, and invite you in. Grant it, Father. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of. And again, Jesus, I surrender. Oh, Jesus, I surrender. Oh, surrender to him now. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Cause me to come to thy river, 442, Amber. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Amen. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Oh, cause me to come. Cause me to drink. Oh, cause me to live. Cause me to drink, yes. Oh, cause me to drink at thy river. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, cause me to drink at thy river, O Lord. Oh, cause me to drink at thy river, O Lord. Oh, cause me to come, yes, cause me to drink. Oh, cause me to live. Cause me to live at thy river. Oh, cause me to live Atai. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, cause me to live at Atai River. Cause me to come, oh, cause me to drink, oh, cause me to. Last verse now, cause me to live in thy presence, oh, cause me to live in thy presence. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come.